We asked Ron Van Dam a very simple question. What do you think of the Ron Van Dam Show?
It can be exhilarating at times. It can be horrible.
You have to admire the guy's honesty. You are listening to Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
So what's your point? What are you trying to say? Welcome to the program. Pleasure to have you here. Really, Sarah Slay? Are you all right, by the way? Are you okay? I'm a little concerned about you. You're not yourself lately. What's wrong with you? What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about right now? What are you thinking about? What's going on in your mind? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Ever get that from your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend where all of a sudden they turn to you and say, you're awfully quiet. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What are you doing up there? What are you thinking about? And you say, nothing. I'm not thinking about anything. Yes, you are. What are you thinking about? Nothing. I'm telling you, I'm not thinking about anything. Yes, you are. What are you thinking about? Tell me what you're thinking about. You're thinking about something. You must be thinking about something. Everybody thinks about something. You cannot think about anything. So what are you thinking about? Nothing. I'm telling you, I'm not thinking about anything. Yes, you are. Tell me right now. What is it? You're turning me off? You're turning me off? You're shutting me down? No, I'm not shutting you down. I'm just not talking. I'm not thinking about it. Everybody thinks about something. This is how arguments start, over nothing. Most arguments we have are triggers for some type of underlying deceit and seething. It's like, you know, it has nothing to do with what you're arguing about. It has to do about the history of what you haven't resolved in your relationship. Huh? I'm making money in the wrong area. There's no question of that. When I was growing up, I thought I was going to be a psychologist. Because I thought, people come to me with their problems. I don't know why, I'm a problem magnet, and I don't like it. I don't like it, but people come to me with their problems because they assume that I'm listening. I'm really not, but they assume that I'm listening. So I'm good at that, and I thought I could have been a wonderful psychologist. There were two things that stood in the way of that goal. The first one was, I hate going to school, so there's no way I could have gotten the education and the license to be a psychologist. Secondly, I don't want to live with other people's problems. Can you imagine sitting in a chair all day listening to these people, quote unquote people, talk about their horrible, horrible problems, their unsolvable personality quirks that makes their lives total crap and total shit? That's what I want to listen to all of my life? No. So forget it. So I ended up being other things. This is one of them. This is actually what I did go to school for. Just a little bit of background on me to unpack my baggage in your face. I went to New York University to the Film Institute of Film and Television. Yes, New York University had a specialty of film and television. I know. So I went there, and I enrolled in the Film and Television New York University Institute. And that's what I was trained to do, film, television, and radio. I've done all three of them. Ooh, Ron, did you fulfill your goals? Hello? Do I have to answer that? I don't know if the answer is obvious or not. I get asked every once in a while, why are you... No. I get asked every once in a while, Ron, would you like to be so famous that you would actually earn and be honored with a a square on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, as the big celebrities do. And I thought about it, and I thought about it. My answer was very clearly no, no. It's not that I wouldn't like the honor of being so famous as to be on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's more that I wouldn't want bystanders with their crappy bottoms of their shoes standing on my name. It would mean the wrong thing to me. I'm being honored. I'm going to give you an honor by putting you on the ground on a sidewalk so that the common people to which you have entertained all these years can step in dog crap and then walk on your square and defame your name. To me, that's what that is. If there was a Hollywood Walk of Wall, and I'd say, sure, but the fact that people would be stepping on my square is not fanciful for me. So no, I wouldn't like it. So thank God I'm not that famous. Am I making excuses? No, I seriously don't want people walking with their shoes on my square. I'd have to put a little fence around my square, and that would look stupid. It would look like it's a memorial. It's just wrong. The whole thing's wrong. How are you, by the way? It seems that all I do is talk about myself, but I don't know how to solve that problem because I can't hear you. I can't hear a thing you're doing. I can see you through your little cable box. You know that, right? Don't you know that? Comcast, Verizon, all those people. There's little cameras in the little box. It's the very small cameras. Cameras can be like pinhole size these days. And I can watch you. I can watch you right now. For example, Susan, put some pants on. See? I just freaked out Susan. Susan is standing in her room listening to the show, and she didn't have any pants on, and I called her on it. Yeah, I know. Hey, Timmy, don't do that. Timmy, don't touch that. That's disgusting. I just freaked out Timmy. Yeah, I can see you. I can see you. Yeah. Oh, put that. Don't you do that. Put that finger down. Don't you do that to me. I can see that. Yeah, freaked you out, didn't I? There's cameras all over the place. All over the place, and you don't even realize it. I'm telling you, it's all. I can see you. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Ooh. Did you watch the Democratic debate last night, the presidential hopefuls, very hopeful. Did you watch them last night? You really should have. It was on CBS. Everybody gets the networks. Everybody. You should have watched it, because at least if you're a Democrat, we don't ask a lot of you, but you should have watched it. It was very interesting. There was a lot of yelling and a lot of accusations going on. It was good television. Embarrassing, yet good television. Forget about what they said for just a second. When I was growing up, here we go again, Ron, with your when I was growing up thing again. When I was growing up and they had a presidential debate on television, they didn't have commercials. It was part of the FCC's understanding of public service. We don't have that anymore. It's not what public service broadcasts. There really aren't. When there was a political debate, there were no commercial breaks showing commercials. Didn't exist. Part of what, and this was before cable, ladies and gentlemen, yes, there was a world before cable television, and I was a part of it. Oh my God, there was a world before cable television. Everything was on television networks and local independent stations, which were just local independent stations, but the networks were all there were. There was CBS, NBC, ABC, and that was about it Fox, not yet. No, But even when Fox started rolling around and they became a network, they still had to abide. They had to do public service stuff where you wouldn't run commercials. Things would happen for public service purposes at the expense of that television station. So there were no commercials during presidential debates because that was public service stuff. The whole debate was. It was like watching PBS. No commercials. It was proper. So last night I'm watching a Democratic debate. And there's a number of commercial breaks, and they're quite lengthy. During each commercial break, there's a commercial for Michael Bloomberg, which is fine. That's how he does his thing. He doesn't tell you much during the debates, but he tells you all he can in his commercials, where nobody can challenge him. But I was taken aback by the fact that there were commercials at all during, it's just wrong. The Super Bowl, I get it. It's an entertainment program. People are making money. I get that. That's a money-making. This is not money-making. The only money-making is for CBS. It was wrong. And it's just an example of where we've gone, what road we have chosen to take in our society. The road of money. It's not the way it always was, kids. That's what I'm trying to tell you. All right, let's move on. After the debates, CBS actually ran a very interesting program called The Debate Spin. You see, now, not only do you watch something, but immediately following it is a show about what you should have seen. They repeat the stuff that you just saw as if you never saw it before. They are talking down to you so much that it's embarrassing and it's insulting. The spin people, and some of the candidates even actually appear on this program afterwards, just randomly, I guess. And they're continuing to try to sell you on their campaign. And these experts are saying who did good and who didn't do good during the debate. Look. I don't know about you, but I'm not stupid. I can watch something and form an opinion on what I just saw all by myself. Yeah, I'm able to form an opinion based on what I just saw. Are you surprised? Human beings can usually do this. There might be a couple of people named Zeke in the South that can't do it, but for the most part, people can. I don't need experts on television telling me what I should have walked away with, what I should have an opinion about, how I should react to something that I just heard. That is going too far. Shows like that should be abolished. Now, if you want to go to CNN or MSNBC or Fox, where they do this all day, have a nice day. Enjoy yourself. This is what they do in sports. You see a sporting event, and after that and before it, it's hours of discussion about what you're about to see and what you just saw. And they analyze the players and the plays and all that, and they talk about it 24 hours a day. Some people are into that stuff. Mindless, but some people are into it. Well, politically, they do the same thing. But following a debate, the same channel you watch it on, you shouldn't tell me immediately after how I should feel about what I just saw. That's an insult to me. You think I'm a moron. Some people don't like that phrase, but it works. You think I'm a moron. Actually, my name is Ron. My name is actually part of that tag. Wow. I am more of Ron. I'm a more of Ron. I'm insulted by that. I'm just totally insulted by that. And I sit here in this chair. I'm sitting in a chair, by the way. I'm sitting in this chair and I say to myself, what have you done to me? What do you think you're doing to me? What have you done to me? You've got bots calling me up at home trying to sell me things. Not even people, robots. You've got foreign governments like Russia trying to manipulate me into vote a certain way subconsciously. I'm on the run. I'm on the run. If I Google something in my little Google machine and I'm interested in buying some pants, which everybody should be at some point in their life. So I go on a website, I Google something, and I go to a website that shows me good prices on pants. Good pants at good prices. That should be my motto. Good pants at good prices. And then I get off of the website, and I'm not interested in buying pants now. For the next month or two, every time I go on the web, on the right-hand side of my screen are going to be offers for good pants at good prices. It's obvious. It's there. They've botted me. They're marketing me because I went to a certain website. I'm on the run. People are after me and my money and my opinions and my votes. They won't leave me the hell alone. On Monday evening, I got a call on my telephone, which is where I get calls. And it was some woman from the Bloomberg campaign. She admitted she was from it. And she said, Mike Bloomberg wants to understand the people. Do you mind if we've chosen you? We want to ask you some questions about Mike Bloomberg. And she was upfront about it. She wasn't trying to sell me pants, I don't think. Although I did buy 5 pair from her. Wait a minute. She went through about 20 questions about my impression of Mike Bloomberg. And I told her what I thought, and she was quite pleasant. She didn't ask for my income or my age or anything like that. I thought that was respectful, very respectful. And that was it. I mean, period. And she says, are you going to vote for Mike Bloomberg? And I said, at this point, no. She says, well, what could Mike do that would make you vote for him? And I said, I don't know. That's not my problem. Let Mike figure that out. I've given you the answers to all your questions. What are you asking me what Mike could do? Drop out? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. My greatest fear is that Trump would get another 4 years, and that cannot happen. Something's got to give. This coronavirus, by the way, don't drink Corona beer. You know what I'm saying? This coronavirus, to be perfectly serious about it, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, has said that it's not a question as to if the coronavirus will hit the United States. It's a question of when. That sent the stock market a tumbling. But for good reason, because this virus is affecting the world's economy in a major, major, major way as it continues to spread. Italy is one of the biggest countries with the coronavirus at this point. Italy? What? Italy? It's an example as to how this can spread quickly for no reason at all, other than someone from Japan who had it showing up in Italy. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when it hits this country. Donald Trump's reaction? There's nothing to worry about. This will go away. We're across the ocean. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. We're good here. Donald, do you know why Donald's saying this? It's not to calm the citizens of the U.S. Donald doesn't calm the citizens of the U.S. for any reason. It's because his link to success is the stock market and the economy. If the economy tanks, which it's starting to do because of the virus, Trump's in big doo-doo trouble, and he knows it. It's all he's got. It's his only sticker on his forehead, supposedly. Actually, that sticker's on Obama's forehead, but whatever. So Trump's panicking, as he always does, and says, no, there's nothing. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's I don't know. It's not funny. It's just, it's sad. So I don't know what's going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great guest coming up on the show. I hope that you're going to enjoy our guest, as my hopes run dry these days, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. The Emporium, ladies and gentlemen, just down the street with a location open near you.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
Tess Masters is a powerhouse blogger, and she's powerhoused another book called The Blender Girl Smoothies. And after you read this book and you put it in the blender, you'll find out how healthy and good feeling you can be. Tess, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, okay, I don't think there's a person listening to this show who doesn't want to be healthier, slimmer, to have their body working correctly. And here you come along with the Blender Girl smoothies. And I'll tell you something, smoothies are, I mean, I know in California where you are, that's kind of a big thing. In New England, it's kind of not, but it should be. And,
Well, I may just change your mind. Because the thing about smoothies, they're so popular, you know, and no one really needs a recipe for a smoothie because, you know, you can just throw fruit and a few spices and things and create something really delicious. But for me with this book, I really wanted to show people that smoothies can be meals, and I love to go on a dimensional journey with a smoothie, much like a textured dish. So, you know, there's lots of smoothies in the book which can really show people how to, you know, extend their thinking beyond what they might think to put in a smoothie, you know. So I've got lots of different recipes, you know, for breakfast, for dessert, very, very interesting combinations, green smoothies, and it's a great way to get your daily dose of fruits and vegetables, you know. So there's like an amazing breakfast smoothie in the book, you know, that's called Crazy for Cantaloupe. I love it. It tastes like a creamsicle, and it's, you know, just got orange juice and melon, a bit of banana. I'm using, there's a really fantastic yogurt on the market called Silk, and it's dairy-free, and it tastes exactly like dairy yogurt for people that are, you know, looking to be a little bit healthier. And then, you know, I love to put a little bit of salt in all my smoothies, which is an interesting thing, but Celtic sea salt's a really mineral-rich salt, which is very strengthening for the body, so I love to do that. And, you know, it just brings out the beautiful flavor of the melon. And, you know, green smoothies are amazing. They're very, they're trending right now, you know, but a lot of people just kind of go, ew, I'm not having that, you know, so I love to create, you know, green smoothies that taste like cocktails and are really fun and refreshing for summer. So for you guys on the East Coast, you know, I love this green mojito smoothie because it kind of tastes like a fun cocktail, you know, and I love to crack open, like, Melissa's have got these amazing young Thai coconuts, which are amazing, but you could use just water, and I mix it with, you know, some limes and some mint and some, you know, baby kale and frozen pineapple from Earthbound Farm, which is really good quality, really beautiful, very mild in flavor. And then you could sort of add some things if you wanted to, like, you know, some Nevada's Naturals wheatgrass powder or a little bit of coconut oil from Nutiva just to boost the nutritional content of the smoothie. So you kind of, I'm always trying to put as many different nutrients as possible without affecting the flavor so it doesn't look like a big old glass of death. And also, you know, very, very delicious and, you know, appealing to people, you know. So there's There's a few very interesting smoothies in the book. Like, there's a, my very favorite smoothie in the book is, it's called the pomegranate ceramic, because it kind of just, like, hits you on the front and expands, and it's like a firecracker in your mouth, you know, and I love it. This is interesting, so bear with me. It's a very interesting combination. It's got pomegranate juice, mm-hmm. an orange, a little bit of red bell pepper, which is bizarre in a smoothie, but it creates this extraordinary flavor. Mm. I'm thickening it with a tiny bit of avocado, so all of that beautiful glutathione, you know, healthy fat. And then I'm adding some beautiful Driscoll strawberries because they're exquisite right now. And they're all over Boston, so you can get them readily.
Sure.
I'm putting a tiny bit of arugula and some cayenne pepper from Frontier Co-op because it's really, really great in flavor. And it's kind of just got this amazing flavor. And then dessert, because we all love dessert.
Yeah.
I've got this smoothie in the book called a blueberry breakfast tart, which tastes like a melted Pop-Tart. It's amazing, but it's healthy. So I'm using, you know, some silk almond milk, a little bit of raw cashews, and some old rolled oats to sort of replicate the flavor of pastry, which is really, really delicious. Mm. And then I'm adding some blueberries, some ground cinnamon. You could fortify it with some coconut oil. It's really, really great. So there's kind of something for everybody in the book, you know. And we all want to add more fruits and vegetables into our diet. And I kind of feel like besides grazing in your produce drawer or, you know, picking up a piece of fruit, a handful of nuts, a smoothie is, you know, the ultimate healthy fast food. So
okay.
It just makes eating fruits and vegetables fun.
Now, can I replace my meals with the smoothie? In other words, can I go through the whole day and have smoothies and will that be okay for me?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone wants to co-check their teeth at the door, but I love smoothies. I mean, some days I have two smoothies, you know, but I kind of, you know, I get thousands of emails a month, you know, from people saying, because I ask everybody, what's your perfect blend? I love people to write to me and you know, tell me what they're making. Mm. And a lot of people are making the same smoothie over and over and over. So I really encourage people for nutritional diversity and taste bud satisfaction to make it fun, to be blending different things every day. But I think, you know, I have a smoothie for breakfast every single morning. So I think it's a great, quick, easy breakfast. I can take it in the car with me on my way to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can put it in mason jars, put it in the fridge for lunch. So yes, you absolutely can. I mean, I love making savory gazpacho, you know, salty smoothies.
Ooh, that's good.
But it tastes like soup, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
So you can, yeah, you know, with bell pepper and tomatoes and a bit of cilantro, a tiny bit of onion. You know, those kind of smoothies make fantastic lunches, afternoon snacks, or quick, easy dinners, you know, on like a, you know, a summer night where you don't really feel like cooking. So, you know, really, savory smoothies actually expand your repertoire of soups.
I like that.
Yeah.
Does the body break down soup better than it, not soup, liquid better than it does solids? In other words, if I had a smoothie for dinner, would I like gain weight because I'm not eating and then sitting around and going to sleep?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There is absolutely this idea out there that, you know, blended food is, you know, pre-digested. It's been broken down somewhat.
But, not,
but what people tend to forget is the first stage of digestion begins in the mouth.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's kind of that thing of, you know, swish and chew your liquids and drink your solids, you know. So I would encourage people when you're drinking smoothies, just swish it around a little bit. Don't glug it and chug it in, you know, 30 seconds.
Gotcha.
But I do think that, you know, it's interesting. I'm getting a lot of emails from men, actually. It's really interesting that I'm talking to you. But, you know, who've been making some of the weight loss smoothies in the book and have, you know, lost 10 to 20 pounds.
You know, when they talk about weight loss, they always talk about women. Men want to look good, too, you know.
And absolutely.
They may not talk about it a lot, but, you know, they want to look good for their woman as well.
And you know, the interesting thing is, you know, my demographics actually swung 54% male in the last 2 years. And it's not because I look like Kim Kardashian. It's because men are really, really interested in this. They want to look good. They want to be healthy. They want to work out. They want to find quick, easy, healthy, fast food to sustain them and nourish them. And so I think it's a really important point. Men really are interested in
this.
But it's also obviously great for women and really, really wonderful for children.
So,
it's a great way to get children in the kitchen making stuff.
About time the children ate properly as well. And this way they can have their nutritious things and they think it's a shake or something, and that's great. Listen, I wish, you know, so I'm in the supermarket and I'm looking for all these good things to put in a smoothie. I wish there was an app on my phone that would have the information.
I love you. Yes, so the Blender Girl Smoothies book actually began as an app with Random House. It was launched last October, and it's so much fun on your phone because, unlike the book, you can actually search. You know, you can punch in, I feel, you know, like a, I feel a bit a bit slow and sleepy. I need a burst of energy. I crave something salty or something sweet, something fruity. So it's so such a fun way to search for smoothies. So I really encourage everyone. It's the Blender Girl Smoothies app, which is available in the App Store.
That's wonderful. It's the Blender Girl Smoothies, gluten-free, vegan, paleo-friendly recipes, and it's got pictures of the smoothies, so it really, really makes you want to put these things together. She's Test Masters. How do we find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me everywhere at theblendergirl.com, and I am at theblendergirl everywhere in social media, and I answer every tweet, every Facebook post, every email. So please reach out. Tell me what you're making from the book and the app, and tell me what you're creating yourself, and I'd love to feature you.
Hey, it's a whole new world here. Thank you so much for your time, Tess.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care.
Once again, you have just been fantastic. I don't know how you do this. I really don't. Some random click on a website and this is what happens to you? I know. I get the same thing. Well, look, good news, bad news. The good news is that I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. The bad news is I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. So until then, I wish you peace.